Hello and hi, welcome to another Slice of Sci-Fi. I'm Summer Brooks, and my guest today is writer-director Aaron Kuntz, who has a new movie out called The Pale Door. And as soon as I heard it was Western and supernatural, I'm like, go on. Hi, Aaron.
Okay. Thank you so much for having me. I appreciate it.
I am a huge fan of Westerns. And when you mix in my other favorite genres like sci-fi, supernatural, and horror, I just get all giddy and ridiculously, you know, anticipatory, like, you know, a five-year-old on Christmas.
Oh, that's so great. And yeah, it was a lot of fun to mix them. Yeah.
Good. Cause the Pale Door was fun. That was a lot of fun. There was a good amount of tension, a good amount of Western roughnecking. And then you've got witches and hungry witches, I'm going to say, but without too many spoilers. But how did you guys come up with this? And I should mention, one of your co-writers is Keith Lansdale, who has a legacy of storytelling in his family. How did you guys get together and come up with this story?
So I did a screenwriting panel with Joe Lansdale and Keith Lansdale in East Texas. And at that time, you know, we were talking about different movies and ideas that we had had. And I talked about this weird kind of witchy Western concept that I had, but we were going to make another movie. Oddly enough, we're going to make a sci-fi film called Dream Machine. And that was the movie we were kind of working on. And then during that panel, Joe and Keith's ears really perked up when I talked about this idea for The Pale Door. And they turned to me in the middle of the panel, and Joe, in his wonderful way, was like, you should make that. That's great. You know, and that's my horrible Joe impersonation. Joe, if you hear this, I apologize. You know, he does that. And we're like, oh, well, there's something exciting. And the whole crowd was talking about this idea. And then that night we went to dinner and, you know, we talked about all of us writing it together. And Joe was very busy. So he kind of served as like an EP and a consultant and gave us notes on the drafts. And but then Keith came on full board to write. And so we took this idea and this kind of breathed life into the characters and had a lot of back and forth and different drafts. And like I would do a draft, Cameron would do a draft, Keith would do a draft. And then we came back, and then Kim and I kind of polished and finished from there. And it was a wonderful, wonderful experience to get to write with them. They're so talented and breathe so much life into these characters, you know, that we had, which was really the crux of making this work.
So can you talk a little bit about the production? How long did it take to film this? What did it take to get all the pieces in the right place to make this story work? Because it does work. There's the right amount of tension. There's just a slight salting of supernatural to keep the tension going. And like I said, I enjoyed it thoroughly.
Oh, that's great. Well, thank you so much. And I mean, honestly, I don't know how we pulled it off in hindsight, because to have wolves and cravens, because they weren't crows. Crows can't travel state lines, but cravens can. That was something I learned. But wolves, cravens, and, you know, we had children, and we had horses, and we had stunts and wire work and four-hour makeup jobs. And, you know, and then we shot in Oklahoma. Because of the timing of what happened, we actually had to shoot during tornado season. So there were Category 5 tornadoes coming right for us. We had flooding. We had hail. We lost an entire day due to weather, and some lightning struck our generator in a key scene. And I mean, there were so many problems. Murphy's Law was unrelenting on this movie. So it was definitely difficult to kind of balance and find the right thing. But, you know, I will say, you know, just being, you know, kind of been doing this now as my kind of really my third feature in a way. And I think I've just kind of learned more patience and how to kind of stay calm and, no pun, but weather the storm as needed as those things kind of come through. So that really helped us. And then my team too, my producers, Ashley Sneed, Roman Dent, Cameron Burns, you know, like in particular, like really kind of came through on set to help balance this and make this work and take some of that weight off of me. And I think we've gotten really good at how to do that now. So as a team, you know, it gave me more freedom to work with my DP and work with the amazing cast that I had to kind of lean into these scenes and make the ones that had to work work, and then have the others that we have to move faster and find that right balance.
Nice. Cause I'm guessing just from what I saw, most of the filming was at night. What was that like, piled up on top of all of the prosthetic work? Because It looked to me like a lot of the coven scenes were practical effects, not digital.
100% practical. There were no digital. I mean, the only digital stuff that was done was like small accents to, like, if the blood didn't splat properly and I wanted it to hit an area, we would just add a little. But I mean, it was nothing. I mean, it was just like little bits that was there, or like cleanup. If I saw like some of their outfit, you know, we would just kind of clean up the outfit. But no, it was 4+ hour makeup jobs. Becky Ingram, David Greathouse, Nate Bright were the main team on that. And yeah, it was unbelievably ambitious to kind of pull that off. And especially the whole brothel sequence was a very big set piece for us. But yeah, we do everything practical. I mean, and that's something that's very important to me. And I had known Becky from before. We worked on my first feature, Camera Obscura. And so I knew how talented she was. I knew what she could pull off. So we did a lot of remote tests. She used to work with Robert Kurtzman's group.
Wow.
Up in Ohio. So that's where she was trained, what she's learned, and that's why she's amazing. And so she was doing tests and sending me different versions. And I was like, look, I want these kind of like Roald Dahl style, like, you know, the elongated noses and ears kind of witch version, but as if they were burnt at the stake. And I thought that was a really cool way to kind of, you know, give a unique approach to their look and style, but then also tease this really interesting background that we wanted to talk about with the Salem witch trials and how, you know, they were persecuted for people thinking they were witches. And what if that hate created actual witches, you know, and the ignorance of those people and those religious zealots that created these actual witches. And I thought that was just a fun way to kind of incorporate what was a very dark period in our history, but appropriate it and tell a story that kind of parallels the cowboys too, in the same way of, you know, hate kind of begets hate and violence leads to more violence. And like, what does that mean and thematically? But I'm now off on a tirade here compared to what you first asked about, which is makeup effects. But it was fun that once I finding that kind of aspect allowed us to kind of dig into how to do those witches in a different and unique way.
Now, the tangent is fine because it gets into the backstory, and having that much backstory, you know, based somewhat in history, based, you know, maybe embellished a little bit for this film, it gives the story that a little depth, and that makes it easier to connect with, because you're curious, you're like, what happened to these women? Why are they still so angry, so vengeful? And that comes through in the story, especially when, you know, you're talking about them being burned at the stake. They still feel a little put out by that, and given how much being set on fire hurts, I can't blame them too much.
Sure. Well, and that was important. Like, what I didn't want this to be was this isn't a good versus evil story. This is a origins of evil. This is, you know, understanding. And I think there's a parallel to the origin of these two brothers in the gang and how they got thrust into this violent world. And then how Maria and her friends became a coven and got thrust in this violent world. And then that just, those things start to kind of become exasperated, and it becomes something that, and then they collide. And I thought that was just an interesting way of looking at this. So yeah, I mean, look, Cotton Mather is a real person. Cotton Mather literally wrote the book on hunting witches, you know, in Salem, and played by James Landry Hebert. And then even the story of Maria there, you know, there's something that kind of ties into a real story that I had read about a woman who fled from Salem. And I don't know if it's true or not, but fled, and she was pregnant and just wanted to have her baby, and then got tracked down to this town, and really horrible things were done to her. And when I read that, it just broke my heart. And I was like, wow, like, I can't believe this actually happened to people. Maybe not that exact story, but other stories of them being hanged or stoned or whatnot. And it just is so horrific. And I was like, well, you know, what if somebody delved into black magic or something and was watching that? And then that would just feed this idea, like, okay, well, if you think I'm evil, now you're going to create the evil yourself. And I think that's something that, you know, societally, I think we can probably reflect on and have something to talk about with that. Or at least that was the goal. So yeah, we wanted to ground them. I didn't want it to just be, you know, gang good, you know, witches bad. There's a lot more to it. We wanted to blur those lines as much as we could.
Yeah, there's a whole different idea there, where you say, you know, the power of thought. You know, these women weren't witches before, but everybody around them believed they were, so they became what everybody thought they were.
Yeah. There's that manifest destiny of you know, within us, you know, in a way. There's something, you know, preconceived notions that kind of, you know, are fulfilled, and there is something there that's scary, honestly, in some aspects. So yeah, there's a lot to explore.
Now, you have another film coming up later this year, Scare Package. Can you talk about that a little bit?
Yeah, so Scare Package just released on Shudder. That's a horror comedy anthology. Very, very different movie than The Pale Door. but it's a horror, you know, we just wanted to have fun with our friends, and we love practical effects. I mean, that movie has like 40 plus gallons of blood, and, you know, it's completely absurd. But it's a lot of fun for a film that, you know, was kind of made very, very kind of low budget, you know, indie horror, but it's a comedy, you know, it's completely a comedy. So in many aspects, the complete opposite of The Pale Door, but that's what we like doing. My company, Paper Street Pictures, we like to do genre mashups. So we want to have like unique takes, but that all tie into horror in some way, or supernatural aspects in some way. But Scare Package is a lot of fun. It's on Shudder now. It'll be on Blu-ray and stuff in October, and it'll be available elsewhere at a later date too. So yeah, it was a ton of fun to make. It was great. It's surreal to have both these movies releasing, you know, in the same summer. It's kind of a crazy thing.
Well, horror comedy it's rare. You either get it really, really right, or there's just a little bit off about it. So I'm looking forward to checking that out. And when you said anthology, that perked me up, because one of the most fun anthologies I've seen in the past few years was Tales of Halloween. It was like 10 stories, and it was glorious. But I'm feeling for your prop master. Hello, I need a 55-gallon drum of blood, please.
Yeah, it was a little crazy. And when you get to see it, you'll see. And Tales of Halloween is great. I love what like Axel and them did on that, and creating that. And actually, that was one that was a lot of fun. And we wanted to be the first anthology that was all comedy the whole time, but just absurdist in our makeup effects and our gore and all that. So I mean, I think there's 5 head explosions. I mean, there's so many things that happen in that movie that are a lot of fun. But learning on how to do those makeup effects really helped us on The Pale Door as well. And you know, there's certain aspects that we were able to kind of like steal some ideas on how to shoot those and how to shoot them economically with The Pale Door and all the witches. So
nice. Well, tell us where people can find you and The Pale Door and Scare Package online.
Yeah, so, again, Scare Package is, we have, you know, a Facebook, you know, an Instagram, and Twitter, and all that for Scare Package. And it's usually just at Scare Package and some variation. And then The Pale Door is, I think there's like a Facebook page, but that's with RLJE Films, you know, on August 21st, of course, which should be out now, I believe. And, you know, myself, my name is Aaron B. Koontz. You can find me anywhere. I love talking about movies, and I love talking about, especially if you like Fear Package and The Pale Door, would love to hear from people. So you can find me on Twitter and Instagram. And I'm genuinely pretty friendly, I feel like. But I guess you can let me know if that's the case.
Cool. Well, we will have links to where people can watch The Pale Door and Scare Package, which is, you said, currently on Shudder?
Yep, currently on Shudder.
Nice. And we will have those. And we will follow Aaron on Twitter and harass him about his upcoming projects, because, like I said, Pale Door was a lot of fun, and I'm moving Scare Package higher up on my list now.
Oh, that's great. Well, thank you so much. And then, yeah, when I get to do my sci-fi film, we can talk more.
Excellent. Excellent. Well, Aaron, thank you so much for your time today.
Yeah, really appreciate it, Summer. Thank you. Really appreciate it.
And we'll be back with more Slice of Sci-Fi right after this.
Slice of Sci-Fi. Escape Pod is your destination for the best in modern short science fiction. Our intrepid crew of editors and hosts will bring you fun, thought-provoking, in-flight entertainment every week as the pod careens around the multiverse. In the mood for a classic, we've got Anson Mount, also known as Captain Christopher Pike, reading Theodore Sturgeon. Want something a little more up-to-date? Jennifer R. Donahue's surveillance fatigue has you covered in every sense. From classic space opera to intimate character drama, from heroic alien pets waiting for their families, to herds of literal Einsteins and the benevolent conspiracy they're hatching, Escape Pod has it all at escapepod.org. So buckle up, because it's story time.
This is Kevin Murphy from Mystery Science Theater 3000 and Rift Tracks, and you have bitten off a nice big chunk of slice of sci-fi.
Again, The Pale Door, a hybrid Western horror thriller, is available right now on demand, on digital, and in theaters, if you are so lucky. It is a compelling story that keeps you interested as it goes along, following the misadventures of a outlaw gang who runs across a coven of witches, and of course, supernatural shenanigans ensue, as you heard. I like this movie. Weird westerns are not typically my thing. It depends. It really does depend on the story. But I always have a soft spot for westerns. So depending on the crossover with the weird westerns, supernatural or horror, or fantasy as well, if it gets my attention and does a good job of weaving a believable story, I like it. And I will tell other people to check it out too. So Pale Door came out on the 21st and is available right now for you to check out for yourself. So give it a try if you are interested. We have some winners coming up in recent contests. The next contest coming up, I believe, will end up being one of the DC animated features. I put out a Twitter poll and there was a tie, so I'm going to have to flip a coin to see which one goes first. Yep, that's right. There was a tie between the Lego Flash movie and Batman Hush on 4K. So, I don't know. But you will hear about that contest here, probably in next week's episode. But as always, if you have any questions or comments, be they on DC animated films or weird westerns, please give us a call. The number is 602-635-6976. Or just shoot me an email, summer@sliceofscifi.com. You can listen to Slice of Sci-Fi at Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, Google Play Podcasts, TuneIn, Player FM, and iHeartRadio Podcasts. If you're listening on Apple or Stitcher, please leave us a review. Let other people know you are enjoying the show and they should check it out for themselves. You can follow us on Twitter at Slice of Sci-Fi. You can follow us on YouTube. We're Slice of Sci-Fi over there. And of course, there is the website, sliceofscifi.com. Come on by. Leave a comment on a review or an interview. And on the reviews, you can actually weigh in with your own scores. Let us know what you think of the films we're reviewing and of the reviews of the films we're submitting. I'd like to thank everyone who is helping support all of the shows here in the Slice of Sci-Fi universe. That's Slice of Sci-Fi, Writers After Dark, Babylon Podcast, Charlie Jade, and a few more projects that are in progress. All of your donations and pledges go to help keeping them online, so thank you all very much. If you're interested in helping support these geek efforts, the place to go is patreon.com/sliceofscifi. Sign up and you will be eligible for perks, bonus, swag, books, DVDs, Blu-rays, 4K discs that we get in here for review and that I turn around and share with our diehard listeners and fans, because I don't have enough space for all of this stuff, so I give. If a monthly pledge commitment is not something you can swing right now, you can do a occasional one-time donation through our PayPal link, which is paypal.me/sci-fi summer. Just as a side note, sometime this weekend there will be a surprise video hitting our YouTube channel. Remember how I mentioned that author Django Wexler wanted to vent a few nitpicks about the Star Wars universe? Well, that happened. The video that will be going up, barring any editing fiascos on my part, it'll hit the YouTube channel this weekend. But don't fear, the audio of it will be in the feed a little while later, in a few weeks. There are some other interviews coming up soon that take precedence, but if audio only is your thing, don't worry, it will appear in the feed eventually. And yeah, that'll do it for this episode. Thank you all for listening, and we will be back with more Slice of Sci-Fi next week. Take care.